So our theme for this year, you know what it is. We've been talking about it all year. Our theme for this year is to stand in the gap. Now, what does that mean? We've been trying to make different applications of that. What does that mean? And for children, what does that mean? That's a Bible expression, stand in the gap. You're not going to hear that many other places. What does that mean, to stand in the gap? To stand in the gap means when something needs to be done, go and do it. That's what it means to stand in the gap. What does it mean to stand in the gap? It means when something needs to be done and nobody else is doing it, go and do it. That's what it means to stand in the gap. To stand in the gap means something needs to be done, nobody else is doing it, and I might look weird if I go and do it, but go and do it. That's what it means to stand in the gap. In the book of Ezekiel is where that expression comes from. The Bible says that God was searching for somebody to stand in the gap. God was searching for somebody to do what needed to be done when nobody else was doing it, and God couldn't find anybody to do it. We need to be those people who stand in the gap today. So today, I want us to talk about that it is our children and our teachers' responsibility this year to stand in the gap at school. There's going to be a lot of things happening this year, a lot of things going on in the school year, but your responsibility this year is when something needs to be done, go and do it. Even if nobody else is doing it, if it needs to be done, you need to go and do it, because that's what it means to stand in the gap at school. And so I want us to talk a little bit about our ABCs this morning, all right? Not all of them. We won't take time to do all 26 of them, but just some ABCs of going back to school. Some ABCs of standing in the gap at school. There's going to be some people at school. They're not going to do what needs to be done. You need to do it, because that's what it means to be a follower of God. And so as you think through these things, I want you to think about standing in the gap and what am I going to do at school this year? First of all, letter A, you know what you need to do at school this year? You need to act like Jesus. And these are great things for your kids to write down, because all that's going to be on the screen is each major point, and it's going to start with A, B, C. We're just going to go through some of the alphabet so your kids can be writing these things down. What do I need to do at school this year? I need to act like Jesus. There's going to be people acting like all sorts of things at school this year, right? Acting in all sorts of ways. But what do you need to do? You need to act like Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible tells us that Jesus left us an example that we should follow in His steps. That's what you need to do this year. You need to act like Jesus. When everybody else is acting like the world and acting like somebody else, your friends, the people at school, they need to see Jesus. They need to see Jesus living in you, in the decisions that you make, in the way that you treat people. You need to treat people the way that Jesus treated people. And the person you need to please the most this year, John 8 verse 29, the person you need to please the most this year is you need to please God. Jesus said, I always do those things that please Him. That needs to be you. So if you're going to stand in the gap this year, you need to act like Jesus. Number two, if you're going to stand in the gap this year, you need to be kind. You need to be kind in your words, in your actions, in everything that you do. Ephesians 4 verse 32 is a great verse. The Bible says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. You need to be kind. There's going to be all sorts of people who are not going to be kind to you. Guess what you need to do in return? You need to be kind to them in what you do. And I love Proverbs 31, verse 26. It's talking about that godly woman, but it's something that needs to apply to all of us. It says about that godly woman in Proverbs 31, verse 26, it says that she had a law on her tongue. That sounds painful, doesn't it? That sounds like she got, what does it mean? She had a law on her tongue. It means that she wouldn't let anything come past her tongue that did not obey the law. What was the law? That sounds kind of weird. Proverbs 31, 26 says, that this godly woman, on her tongue was the law of kindness. I love that expression. You know what that indicates? Her tongue was going to follow the law, and her words were going to follow the law. What was the law? It's got to be kind. Did your parents ever tell you, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all? That's from the Bible. We need to speak kindness to others in our words and our actions. You see, there's a gap there where people aren't going to be doing that at school this year. Guess what you need to do? You need to stand in that gap and be kind. Letter C, you need to choose your friends carefully. That's a statement right out of Proverbs 12 and verse 26. God says in the Bible, the godly choose their friends carefully. Well, why does that matter? Keep reading the verse. The godly should choose their friends carefully because the way of the wicked leads them astray. If I don't choose the right friends, guess what can happen to me? I can go the wrong way. I can go down a wrong path. I think back in the life of people that I have known. I think back in the life of people that I have loved. And with some of them, I can pinpoint the exact time that they took a different turn in their life. And for some of those people, I can visualize in my mind the friend that they chose. And the influence that friend had on them that caused them to take a different path. The first verse that was read to us today from the first Psalm. Blessed is the person who does not stand, does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, and he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Decide who your friends are going to be, but choose friends who are going to help you to do right. Choose friends that are going to help you to be kind. Choose friends that are going to help you to act like Jesus. Choose friends who are going to help you to treat other people like Jesus. Our friends have a great influence on us. And sometimes they can have such an influence on us for good that they can help us to do what's right. That's what's so cool about church friends, is that church friends help you to do what's right. They have a positive peer pressure on us. But we need to be mindful that there's other influences that other friends can have on us. Letter D, what do I need to do? If I'm going to stand in the gap at school this year, what do I need to do? I need to do right always. I need to do right always. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 and verse 28, blessed are those who hear God's word and do it. That's what I need to do. Just see what's right. Go to God's word. Are there going to be people at school that are not doing what's right this year? That's a silly question, isn't it? Of course there are. Guess what I need to do? I need to stand in the gap. And where other people are not doing right, I need to do right. How often? All the time. You know why? Because it's always right to do right. And it's always wrong to do wrong. It's never right to do wrong, and it's never wrong to do right. And that's right. Why? Because this book is right. In Psalm 19 and verse 8, that's the exact word that it uses in Psalm 19 and verse 8 to talk about this book. It talks about the word of God, and it says that it is right. Isn't that awesome? You can count on this book. It's never going to steer you wrong. And when everybody else, and that's an overstatement, but when everybody else at school is not doing right, don't let that be the pattern that you follow. Stand in the gap and you do what's right all the time. Letter E, going back to school and I need to stand in the gap. What do I need to do with the letter E as I stand in the gap? I need to exercise the golden rule. What is the golden rule? What does Jesus say in Luke 6 and verse 31? As you would that others do unto you, you do unto them also. How do you want to be treated this year? You want people to make fun of you this year? You want people to laugh at you and go with a group over to the side and point fingers at you? You want people to lie about you? How do you want people to treat you this year? And however you want to be treated this year, that's how you need to treat. That's what Jesus, the golden rule, why do we call it the golden rule? Because it's golden. It changes things. It changes relationships. And not everybody's going to be practicing the golden rule this year. That's okay. You can stand in the gap. And you can be the one that does fulfill what James calls the royal law. Pretty cool expression. If you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, what's the royal law? Royal law is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what's called the royal law. I'm kingly if I fulfill that law because I'm a part of the king's command to treat others the way that I would want to be treated. That will change everything about this school year. There'll be some hard decisions that you have to make. Do right. There'll be some hard decisions you have to make about how to respond to somebody. Respond with the golden rule. However you want them to treat you, that's how you treat them. How do you stand in the gap this year? Letter F, forget. Forget what? Forget about what other people think. We want to fit in, right? We want people to like us. We want people to accept us. And so we will become like a chameleon, and we will change what we look like, how we dress, how we act, how we talk, so that we fit in. Forget about what other people think. That's not what matters. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, the Bible says, if we measure ourselves, if we compare ourselves with other people, the Bible says, well, that's not wise. That's not wise to say, well, this is who they are, well, and that be my measuring rod, that be determining how I live. That's not wise. Don't worry about what other people think. In fact, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 26, Jesus says, woe to you. Listen to it, Luke 6 verse 26. Woe to you if everybody speaks well of you. If everybody's saying great things about you, something's weird. Something's off. Back up and say, hey, what's going on here? Why? Because it doesn't matter what other people... Don't be concerned about everybody liking you. If everybody likes you, something's wrong. Something's off. Back up, and Jesus says, hang on a second. That's why he uses the word whoa. That's what you say to a horse, right? You say to a horse, whoa. That's what Jesus said. Whoa, hang on a second. This isn't right. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, if I'm trying to only please men, I cannot please God. Everybody's concerned about, well, they won't like me if I don't worry about what they think. Worry about what God thinks. Worry about what the church, your friends at church think. That's what matters, is doing what God says. Letter G, stand in the gap this year and give respect. Is that a gap? Is there a gap at school? Is there a gap anywhere about people giving respect to others? There may not be a lot of people who give respect to your teachers at school. Guess what you need to do? Stand in the gap. You need to give respect to your teachers. It might be that your friends will talk about the teachers behind their back. Might laugh at them. Might say all sorts of mean things about the teachers. You give respect. 1 Peter chapter 5, Bible says, those who are younger need to submit themselves to those who are older. There's a reason that that the Bible says that we who are younger need to submit. It's because there are those who are in authority. That's what Titus chapter 3 says. Same word, submit, in Titus chapter 3. To submit to those who are in authority. The teachers are in authority. They are over you in school. And so Leviticus 19 verse 32 says, you shall rise before, and I'm just going to put the word old person here. You shall rise before the gray-headed is what it says. You shall rise before those who are older than you. and you shall honor their presence and fear your God. When it comes to your teachers, whatever your teachers do, you need to give them respect. Whatever assignments your teachers give you, you need to give them respect. But not just your teachers. Everybody else at school. I don't know what your school is like, but are there janitors who are walking around cleaning up after you, picking up your gum and your trash all over the place? Treat them with respect. They're cafeteria workers who are preparing food, serving food, providing for you, cleaning up after you when you leave the cafeteria. Give them respect. Are there maintenance workers coming around to fix the water fountain so you can get a drink of water, coming around to fix a door that's broken? Give them respect. Why? Because you're going to stand in the gap. Nobody else will. Everybody else is going to laugh at them, make it hard for them. You're going to stand in the gap, and you're going to give them respect. And when you come home, guess what you're going to do? You're going to give respect at home. Or the Bible uses the word, letter H, honor. Honor your parents. Your parents love you with all of their heart. Your parents have made sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice for you. And they've done it lovingly, willingly, and they would do it all over again. Honor them. Give them the respect that is due unto them. The book of Proverbs talks a lot about fathers and mothers and the responsibility that we have towards our fathers and our mothers. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22 says, "Listen to your father and do not despise your mother." Down in verse 25 it says, "Let your father and your mother be glad." Are you letting your father and your mother be glad? Or are you doing things that are making them something other than glad? Let your father and your mother be glad. You back up into Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20, and it says, "Those who disrespect, those who despise, those who turn away from the word of their parents and they don't honor their parents," that verse says that their light will be put out in a dark place. Whew, that doesn't sound good. Honor your parents. Treat them with the respect that they are due. And Ephesians chapter 6 says, "And it will be well with you." Letter I. What do you need to do this year? You need to interact with God. You need to interact with God every day. There's going to be a lot going on this year. A lot of things you have to do. There's going to be a lot of homework. There's going to be a lot of assignments, a lot of projects that you're given. You need to interact with God every day. You know the model prayer that Jesus gives in Luke chapter 11, where that part of the prayer says, "Give us day unto day our daily bread." If you pray for daily bread, how often are you praying? That would be daily. Interact with God. Talk to God every day. The psalm that was read, Psalm 1 and verse 2 says, "In His light, in his law, He meditates day and night." That's where He finds His delight. And He's there day and night. Talk to God. Get in God's Word and let God talk to you. It doesn't have to be long. Just read a verse. Read two verses. Read a verse or two with your parents and pray about it. I love what it says about Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. You all know the story about Daniel being thrown in the lion's den, right? I mean, who hasn't heard the story about Daniel being thrown in the lion's den? That's at the end of chapter 6. Why did he get thrown in the lion's den? Because in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, when it was made against the law for anybody to pray to any other god other than the god of the Babylonians, who did Daniel pray to? He opened his windows and he prayed to God. He prayed to God three times that day. But the part of the verse I want you to pay attention to is the end of Daniel 6 and verse 10. Daniel is an old man in Daniel 6. He's not a young man. I know some of the pictures we've seen, maybe picture him as a young man or even a young adult. He's not. He's an old man. But it says that he got down on his knees and he prayed three times that day. And the end of verse 10 says, "As was his custom from his early days." Daniel, why are you praying to God when it's been made illegal? Because I've been doing this my whole life. Why am I going to stop now? Start now interacting with God every day. And when you get old like Daniel, and maybe some other people that you know in here, when you get old like Daniel and bad things start to happen, it's just going to be natural that you're going to talk to God, because that has been your custom from the beginning. What do you need to do? Very quickly, letter J, jump in and work hard. That's something people don't do, right? Does the Bible say anything about laziness? It says a lot about laziness. There's a lot of verses in the Bible about not being lazy. What does God tell us to do? Be hard workers. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. Don't be half-hearted in your efforts. Do everything, every assignment, every project that you're given, do it with everything you've got. That's why Colossians 3 and verse 23, God says that whatever you do, do it heartily. Not as to your teacher, not as to your principal, do it heartily as to the Lord. Do you know when you do homework that you're not doing it just for your teacher and just for the principal and just for this person? You're doing whatever you do, it's as if you're doing it to the Lord. Because that's what our whole life is about, serving the Lord. Do it heartily. Do it with a good attitude. And jump in and do hard work. That's not the motto for today. That's not what a lot of people, there's going to be a lot of people slacking off in school this year, staying in the gap. And say, I'm going to do what needs to be done. I'm going to jump in. And maybe it's homework, or maybe it's some project around school. Maybe it's something at home that you need to be a part of in helping your parents. Jump in and work hard. Letter K, what do you need to do this year? Keep going and going and going and going and going and going and going to church. You say, what's that got to do with school? It's got everything to do with school. Don't separate the two. Don't say, well, school's over here and church is over here. Church is a part of everything that I do. Why? Because this is my relationship with God over here, and that has everything to do with who I am. And if you want a good school year to be had, then you keep going and going and going to church. In Psalm 84, David says in verse 2, my soul longs, listen to this, my soul longs, yes, it even faints for the courts of the Lord. Have you ever fainted because you wanted to go to church so much? That's what David's saying. I'm about ready to faint. I want to go to church so much. That needs to be us. I don't need to think about, oh, I got to go to church. I can't hang out with my friends. Yes, you can. You come to church and you get to hang out with your friends, your church friends. What is better than that? It'll make a difference this school year. It'll make a difference in the rest of your life. It'll make a difference eternally. What do you need to do this year? Stand in the gap. What does that involve? Did your parents ever tell you to mind your manners? Mind your manners. Mind your humble manners. And that's the letter M. Did I skip to the letter M? I didn't do the letter L. Well, now you know what the letter M is. I forgot about the letter L being in between K and M. What do you need to do with the letter L? Honesty is the best policy. You've heard that one. Live the best policy. Be humble. And as you're humble, tell the truth. Tell people the truth. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Do not lie to one another, but speak the truth with your neighbor. If your teacher asks you a question this year, tell the truth. If you didn't study for a test really well, but the person next to you studied for the test really well, be honest. Don't cheat. Cheating is lying. You're writing down an answer on the test that is not your answer. That is lying. Be honest. In everything that you do, in everything that you say, that's why somebody came up with that expression. It's the best policy. Are there going to be other people at school this year that aren't telling the truth? Yep, every day, all around. That's okay. You stand in the gap. You live by that policy that says, I'm always going to tell the truth. Now, you already know what M is because I jumped ahead to that. What's M? Mind your manners. Be polite. I love the last word in the New King James in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Last word there. Other translations have the word humble. The last word in the New King James says, be courteous. Is that you? Be polite. Be courteous. Don't just look out for your own interest. Look out for the interest of others. Esteem others as better than yourself, Philippians 2 and verse 3. What's that? That's being humble. That's minding your manners. Say please. Say thank you. Say you're welcome. Use those manners that, well, maybe your mom and dad or your grandparents taught you, but use those manners that God would have you to use. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 10, Jesus says, when you come into a place, don't take the best seat. Back up. Let others go before you. Let others have the better seats. Why? Because you're minding your manners. You're not going to let any corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Ephesians 4 verse 29. But instead of corrupt words proceeding out of your mouth, you're going to let things proceed out of your mouth that are good for edification, that it may build up the hearers and impart grace to the hearers. You're going to mind your manners. Everybody else, that's overstatement. Everybody else is going to be rude, going to be ugly. You're going to be kind with the letter B, but you're going to mind your manners. So you know what? I'm going to treat you right, and I'm going to talk to you right, and I'm going to treat you like you deserve. Last thing I want you to see in this alphabet is the letter N, and that is never, ever be ashamed. You might get picked on for acting like Jesus. You might get picked on for being kind. You might get picked on for choosing the right kind of friends. You might get picked on for doing right all of the time. Does that matter? Does it matter that these people don't understand you and don't understand the choices that you are trying to make? Does that matter? It's okay. You might get picked on because your friends don't understand the choices, the words, the way that you're treating other people. It's okay. Never be ashamed. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, I'm not ashamed. You know why? Because I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep whatever I've committed unto him, he'll keep it until that day. And that's what he says in Philippians 1 and verse 20. I'm never ashamed. And don't you ever be ashamed. Don't ever be ashamed that you're not worried about what other people think. Just forget about what other people think. Don't ever be ashamed to give respect to every person, even if nobody else is. Don't ever be ashamed to honor your parents, to interact with God, to jump in and to work hard. Don't ever be ashamed to keep on going and going and going. And you're going to church again? Yep, I am. You want to come with me? Don't ever be ashamed that you're going to church. Don't ever be ashamed to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and to be honest. And all the, oh, you want to cheat off my test? No, sir, no, ma'am, you can't cheat off of me. I studied for this. I'm going to be honest. You need to be honest. Don't be ashamed to mind your manners, because there's nothing to be ashamed of if we're going to stand in the gap for Jesus. But you know, as I look at these things, as I look at these 13 things, it's only halfway through the alphabet. You finish the alphabet, okay? I know you don't want to sit here as I finish the alphabet. You finish the alphabet. And if you have trouble with the letter Q or the letter X, just call me. I'll let you know what I would have put for Q and X. But you finish the alphabet. How else do you need to stand in the gap this year? But you know, as you think about this list, some of you have been thinking for the last 30 minutes, wow, this lesson was just for the kids. Why did I come today? Huh. If you look at this list and you think it's just for the kids, you haven't been listening. It's for every single one of us. Because everywhere we go this week and next week and for the rest of our lives, everywhere we go, we're going to need to stand in the gap. We're going to need to stand in the gap in every part of this because nobody else is. But what did we say at the beginning? When there's something that needs to be done. But even if nobody else is doing it, and even if I might look weird in doing it, I still need to go and do it. And when I do, I can be that person that God said in the book of Ezekiel that he was searching for the person to stand in the gap. As you look at your life, is your life where it needs to be today? As you look at your relationship with God, can I ask you a question? Is there a gap? As you look at where God is and as you look at where you are, is there a gap between where God is and where you are? Is there a gap that you need to fill in and say, here are some things that I need to do in order to get right with my God? Here's what God tells us that we need to do. In order to step into that gap, I need to obey God's plan of salvation. That plan of salvation involves me believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And with that faith so deep in my heart that I look at what Jesus did for me on the cross and dying for my sins, I say, wait a minute, if he died for my sins, I don't want to have anything to do with my sins anymore. And it leads me to repent, turn away from my sin. I want to stop doing these sins. I want to stop doing what's wrong and start doing what's right. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And if you've never made that decision, why don't you make that decision today? It says, that's what I want to do, to turn my life towards God, to do what they did in the New Testament, to confess your faith in Jesus, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You know, we've been talking about the ABCs of going back to school. You know, baptism is as simple as the ABCs of God's plan of salvation. It's not complicated. It's so simple that Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's simple. That's not complicated. Jesus, what do I need to do to be saved? You need to believe and you need to be baptized in order to be saved. I've heard all sorts of explanations about why that verse doesn't mean what it says. And after everybody argues about why that verse doesn't mean what it says, you know what it still says after they've done all their arguments? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Can't be saved without believing and being baptized. And at that moment, all of my sins are gone when I obey his plan. I'm added to his church by God himself, and he writes my name, registers my name in heaven, and calls upon me to walk in the light as he is in the light. Walk with him every day. Interact with God every day. Live by the golden rule every day. Do right always. Everything that we've talked about today is me walking in the light, even when other people aren't interested in doing that. Is there a gap between you and God today? You need to stand in that gap. You need to fill it. And if you haven't done what the Bible says to get right with him, why don't you do it right now as together we stand and sing.